This is Wade with Wade for Wireless from wadeforwireless.com. Something that comes back to me a lot. I hear about a lot of guys that are getting screwed in their job, or I just recently heard it from a guy. His company put him out of town and they only gave him per diem for days he worked. They couldn't work other days because of weather. So he was out the money for those extra days. And that really sucks, but apparently OSHA or Department of Labor, they don't really care. I guess they didn't do anything about it. So what we have to do is we have to prepare for this up front, right? If you're already working for somebody, chances are you already know what the rules are at this point. That was the deal, right? He was upset because he didn't get per diem for days. They told him to be out of town. They wouldn't bring him back, but he didn't work. And I guess it was their company policy. So here's what we have to do, people. We have to ask questions up front. And that's what I'm trying to help you out with here today. I'm trying to help you out with just asking some common sense questions. And you know what? You're going to hear these questions and you're going to scoff at them, say, oh, well, you know, I knew that. But did you do it? Did you follow through with it? Hey, I forget things. You get excited. Somebody wants to hire you. You feel pretty good. You don't want to screw it up. You don't want to miss that opportunity. And then you get screwed. So all you have to do is ask some of these questions up front, and they should be, you know, part of, like, after they offer you the job, you know they want you, right? So why not just ask the questions? Just ask. Is that so hard? A lot of these, I get it. You know, you're worried about your job, but you have to know the details. And by the way, I have the link in there. If you want to build your resume and your LinkedIn profile, I have a link for that too, step by step. So these are simple questions that you're going to ask up front. Now, what's the pay? What does it pay? Is it hourly or salary? Salary. Hourly or salary? It's hard to say those back to back for me. But the reason I'm bringing it up is because a lot of guys get to pay. You know, I make 50 grand a year. I make 100 grand a year. And then they go out there and, you know, they probably get that pay, right? But their salary, they don't make any extra money. They aren't getting paid for the overtime. They may not get the per diem or whatever. So just ask, what does it pay? Give me an hourly wage. Is it hourly or salary? And do I get overtime? It's that simple. Do I get overtime? It sounds simple, right? What's it pay? They're going to tell you what it pays. Chances are that's going to be heavy on your mind. Is it hourly or salary? You may or may not ask that one. Do I get overtime? That's the one that people tend to get screwed on. Oh, well, you're salary and we don't. And I've been at companies where they bounce you from hourly to salary to hourly to salary because the laws of the state change or the whatever, you know, the laws change and they know for salary they can get you for more. But so what they should do is when your salary is adjust your pay based on the overtime you got. See, that's what a lot of these guys don't do. So I'm just telling you, you know, you got to look out for yourself here and your family. I do the same stupid things. You know, you just can't ask every question. I wish you could, but you just can't ask every question. So then ask about your benefits, health, dental, disability, long-term and short-term disability, because that matters. That's another big thing. Then another thing to make clear up front, am I an employee or am I a contractor? You know, that sounds like a silly question, but people get screwed on that all the time. You know, am I a 1099 or am I a W-4, a W-2? It matters because there's another way that they'll get you in, they'll get you working, and then you wonder why your pay's a little different or they aren't taking the proper taxes out or something like that. Just be very clear up front. Am I an employee or am I a contractor? And I know a lot of you guys probably laugh at that. Oh, I'm an employee. And then, you know, when at the end of the year, you're a little confused by, you know, the taxes and everything. But chances are, if you're a contractor, you don't get benefits, you don't get any of the extras, and it really makes a difference. So I would also ask if the company's a member of NATE, because NATE's going to hold these guys accountable. Whether you like NATE or hate NATE, at least you have someone to complain to. You have the Better Business Bureau, you have the Department of Labor, and you have, well, Better Business Bureau. Actually, that doesn't count here. But you have Department of Labor and you have NATE. So you have someone to complain to. You can't think that you're in this alone. Ask about your travel. That's a big question. You'd be surprised how many guys just don't ask. Is it 80%? Is it 100%? Is it 50%? When will I be home? What are holidays like? So on. But just ask about what percentages travel. Now, the big one. Ask about the per diem policy. How do you get per diem? Let's be specific here. What do you pay per diem for? Is it for the hotel stay? Do I have to pay my own hotel? Is it my choice what hotel I stay at? Or do you set up the hotel? See, that really matters. Ask them what you get per diem. Do they go by the federal guidelines, which I have a link in my wadeforwireless.com blog for the federal guidelines? Is that what you get? Do they go by that, or do they have their own standards? I wasn't with a company at the time, but I know a company that they went by the federal standards, and quite honestly, HR just got tired of tracking all the different towns. So what they do, they set one standard, and they picked a low standard, and then I just happened to know a couple guys had to go to New York City. They had to work in Manhattan. Now, as you know, in Manhattan, nothing is cheap. So to go with a low standard while the people are in Manhattan is insane. You're just going to lose money. You're going to bleed money. There is no 7-Eleven you can go to and buy a burrito for $3. You know, you can't do it. So you gotta be fair here. You gotta ask. Ask about the per diem rate. If the guy interviewing you doesn't know, you're going to be suspicious, right? But what you can do is get the employee handbook and look it up there. Oh, by the way, companies change employee handbooks on the fly. I've been through that. I got screwed because of that. Because all of a sudden, everything changes. Just sort of pisses you off. That's all. You just got to keep up with it. Usually, if you work in the field, you are the last one to know. Sorry, I'm just having a hard time talking this morning. I have no idea why. So he went over per diem. Is the hotel included in the per diem? Are you paying that yourself? Or is that separate? Are they just paying meals and things like that, living expenses? Will the per diem be canceled? Will you get per diem if work's canceled? That's a big one because this guy just got screwed by that, right? So you're out of town. You're there for 2 weeks. Work gets canceled for a day, let's say because of weather. In the Northeast, it'd be snow. In the South, it'd be rain. You know, something like that. Something beyond your control. So if you blow work off for, you know, a day, you don't deserve the per diem. You don't because you blew it off. But with that said, sometimes, you know, you shack up, you have two or three guys sharing a room, which was common. That never bothered me. That really bothers some guys. They want their own room. And guys can weigh in on how you feel about that. I really could care less. I'm there to work. Can you see a copy of the employee manual? That's what I have next. Oh, well, actually, I missed one. Sorry. Do I get overtime? And I know I put this in there twice, but if so, when? Do I get overtime after 40 hours? Do I get overtime after 80 hours? Do I get overtime after an 8-hour day? So make sure you ask when overtime kicks in, if you even get overtime, because it will matter, okay? Ask for a copy of the employee manual. That matters. Ask for a copy of the safety manual. That matters. And ask for a copy of the tower safety manual. Generally, what companies have, they have a standard safety manual. Then they have a separate manual for the tower workers for safety out at the tower. Not always, but, you know, can it hurt to ask? You know, just make this a simple checklist. You can just print it off this blog if you want. But the tower safety manual, if you're a climber, you'll want to see that. If you work at tower sites, if you're an RF engineer or you do site work, groundwork, construction, you'd probably still want to see that. So the next thing on the list is, do you do inside training of the climbers and engineers? So what I mean by inside, I mean inside the company. Do they have a train-the-trainer program? Like a lot of companies set this up just because, quite frankly, it's cheaper than sending six guys to a school. You're sending six guys to a school. You're paying per diem and living expenses to train these guys. You aren't bringing any money in. So generally what they do, they pick a safety guy. They train him. He becomes the instructor, and then he sets everything up. And then the entire program hinges on like the reputation of this guy. Is this guy going to be a safe guy? Is he really going to care? Or is he just going to worry about the numbers and pass people through? I'm going to be honest with you. Most of the safety guys I meet are anal about safety. They really, really care. They don't want to see anyone get hurt. They want everyone to be certified properly. They want everyone to know what it's like to pull a body off the tower. I don't see too many that are rough around the edges. With that said, I see a lot of companies, from the feedback I get, that just want the numbers. They just want to get people through. You know, not all companies are like that. You have good and bad companies. I talk about that all the time. So, but I think that's an important question to ask. Do you do inside training? And if you don't, where do you send them? What training do you offer the people? Now, here's what I mean by that. Do you offer them tower and safety training, which if you're a climber, you should? Do you offer OSHA training, which if you do any site work, you should have OSHA and first aid training? It matters. That really matters that you have OSHA and CPR training if you do site work. It really helps. It does. You like your OSHA 10 hours, fine. You don't need your 30-hour. 30-hour covers so much. Now, if you're a training instructor, then you probably want your 30-hour. But for most people, the 30-hour is a bit much. But again, depends what you do. I'm going to be, you know, all depends what you do. Now, the other thing I think you should ask, how often do you train or renew certificates? Do you do it once a year, once every 2 years? Be specific. Get them to a number. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Oh, we don't do that. You do it once, you're done. Out there in the field. Let's go. Get busy. Who runs your training program? The reason I put that in there is because if it's an employee, it'd be nice to talk to that employee if you could before you got hired. If it's a company, I would ask them what company. There's a lot of consultants, programs, and companies out there. And there's a lot of online companies that, you know, people just do it. But who specifically? Ask them to be specific about that because it really does matter if you want to know about how their training programs run. Who runs your human resources department? Same question. Is it a person in the company or is it an outside company? Here's the thing about HR people. HR people generally run safety programs. And that's why I put both questions in there is because you need to know whether the safety program's run by the HR person or not. Sort of a trick question there. You ask them who runs the training program, then you ask them who runs HR, because a lot of times some of these people just put the training in the HR. I don't like that. I'll tell you why. HR cares about the people and policies, but they don't understand what the climber goes through in the field. And a lot of times you have tension between the field people and HR people, right? Because you're always arguing over per diem and pay. And then if you're going to complain about safety as well. So here you have HR people that a lot of, especially field people, argue with about per diem and other things and safety. The things that are important to safety in an HR person are not necessarily important to safety to a field person. Let me explain. I'm going to explain right now. In the field, you really don't care about dings and dents on the car, right? On the truck, you have a company truck. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's the way it is. Things happen, especially at a tower site. But you do care if someone falls and gets hurt, if someone gets cut, if your first aid kits are completely stocked, if you have, you know, I don't know where you work at, but spider bite, snake bite, medicine for that. So you have a different rationale when you're in the field. You're at a tower site. You live at that site for a week, right? But the problem is HR people, you get one little ding. Oh, that's an accident. You should go for a drug test. Test the entire group. You know, it's just so silly. Things happen at the site. You going to close the site down to go find a drug test center? I've been through this, people. It happens. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, and I get the rationale. Any accident is something we should report, which I do believe that. You got to report it for insurance purposes, but you got to have a balance of what you're going to shut the job site down for. And here you have someone in the office telling you to send 4 to 6 guys to a drug test center because they put a ding in the truck. And I get the policy, every accident. When I say every accident, come on, geez almighty. And that creates problems, and let me tell you why. I'm going to get into this. I didn't want to, but when you have that mentality, nobody's going to report anything. At the end of the month, the guy looking over the vehicles is like, Judas Priest, look at these vehicles. They're a mess. I mean, why don't you guys tell me what's going on? Well, I shut down the job site. And then you're like, well, I don't want to lose the pay of 4 days, four guys a day, shut down the job site, delay the job, and so on, because a couple things on the truck. So you balance it out. The other thing is, now, because you have this policy about any accident, no one's going to report near misses. And I think it would be, and you know what? I don't know. Safety people go a bit wacky. That was a near miss, but it would be nice if we could record near misses. It really would be. But the reality is it's not going to happen. You know, they had that reality show, the tower show a while back. I forget what it was called. There were, you know, things like the one guy hit a pipe and the clamps were loose and the pipe fell and everyone, you know, headache. Didn't hurt anybody. Nobody was hurt. But it was an inadvertent thing. And it had nothing to do with the guy in the tower. You know, he was trying to get out to work on something else, and the clamps were loose on his pipe. Whoever tightened it did a piss poor job, or it got loose, it vibrated in the wind. Things happen. Stuff like that happens all the time. We should record that, where it happens and what happens. just because we can track things like that. And we'll know how many times things like that happen. I'm telling you, things like that happen all the time. Wrenches fall, tools fall, you lose stuff. Guys loosen something and something falls out. It happens all the time. We don't record it. In my head, how many times things like that happen. And then I can take it times 100 because everyone told me about things that happen in the field. And you know who has all this information? All the field workers have this information. You know who doesn't have any of it? OSHA. And they never will, because people aren't going to report it. Because if they report it, they'll probably get written up and it'll look bad on their record or on the company's safety record. So it's just very frustrating. It would be nice if we track near misses so we could start improving things. And one of the things that, you know, anyone who has a bolts bag, it'd just be nice if we could close that up or find a way to keep tools in there. And I know now they have stuff with flaps and they have the elastic tops or the tops you can close, which is nice because when you're up on a tower, it's nice to be upright all the time. But I wasn't always upright. I had to climb over stuff. You have to move and adjust. Sometimes you have to stand straight out from the tower just to reach something as they're bringing it in, you know, from either a crane or from the way it's out there, or else you're tagging something, trying to keep it off the tower. You're holding the dish off the tower. You're in all kinds of positions up there. That's why a lot of tower climbers have sore feet, sore arms, sore back. In my case, sore shoulders. My rotator cuffs are shot. The elbows get bad. Carpal tunnel. You know, physically, it's a degrading job. I know. I'm off on a tangent. I'm coming back now. Okay, bear with me. I'm coming back. Let me adjust my monitor here. Okay, training program. We did that. Human resources. We did that. Oh, here's another one. So they offered you the job. Chances are you're going to interview at the facility. Some of you guys take jobs over the phone. That's fine. But why don't you ask for a tour of the facility, the warehouse, wherever everyone meets at. They may have a warehouse. A lot of guys have warehouses, right? Or like a work area. Just take a look at it and look for things laying around. Look for how they treat your gear. Is all the gear in the floor? Is the gear hung up? Is the gear taken care of? Is all the gear like tattered? Do you get new gear? Do you have old gear? I mean, but you can tell a lot by just looking around the facility and being observant. The other thing, next thing I have on here, who are the customers? Just get an idea. Do they work directly for the carriers? Do they work for vendor of a vendor of a vendor? Do they work for government? Just ask who the customers are. You can take it as deep as you want. Like if someone says, you know, my customer's Comcast. Do you work directly for Comcast, or are you working for a contractor of Comcast, or like Verizon? Do you work directly for Verizon, or do you work for a vendor? AT&T. Is it AT&T or a turf vendor? What is it? So I'm saying. And finally, if you get a chance, and most guys do this already, talk to the crew leader. I think the crew leader or the construction manager or the foreman, you get an idea if the guy's a prick or not, right? You get an idea if the guy's on your side to help you out, or if the guy's going to be a total jerk off and screw you over and leave you sitting in a town somewhere. A lot of guys can pick that up front. And if you don't, you'll learn. You'll learn real quick. Oh, he was so nice in the interview. Now he's a complete bastard. It's just the way it is. You know, I wish I could put it better. And that's with any job. You know, you want to sort of meet the guy you work with. And it's very confusing because it's a first impression. You know, everyone's nice on that first impression. And when a lot of times when they hire these guys, it's one interview. You either like the guy or you don't. You know, the guy works hard or you don't. You have references or you don't. So those are things that I can think of. If you know people in the crew or people that work there, ask them what they think. And the only thing with that, if you ask people that used to work there, they'll probably be honest with you. But if they don't work there anymore, there's probably hard feelings at some point. Maybe they got laid off. Maybe they got fired. Maybe they found a better job and he said, well, I like that job. It just, this guy pays better. Well, you can't get in with that guy. He's not hiring. You got to start. You need more experience. Maybe that guy only hires experienced people. There's other companies that only hire people that they train. That's just the way they do it. So what you got to do is ask around, ask questions. But if you ask on Facebook, I'm going to warn you right now, Facebook and LinkedIn, just be suspicious. It's all right to ask people, but weigh the answers out properly, because you always have the guy that just didn't get along with someone at the company or got screwed or he didn't follow policy. So you got to weigh out the truth. Did the guy really get screwed, or did the guy try to take advantage of the system? Figure it out. You know, you got to use your best judgment. If someone you really trust and know says the company's horrible to work for or doesn't pay or whatever, then weigh that in your decision, okay? That's all I'm saying. So this is to help all you guys that have problems out there. The thing is, prepare up front. If you're a contractor, I'll probably do something about that later, but I'm talking with somebody now that is talking about the way you do a contract up front, and I'll get into that in another blog. You can settle a lot of problems down the road by preparing up front. And I still have problems with this. Don't get me wrong. You know, I can dole out this advice all day, but the reality is it's hard to cover all this up front. It really is. And sometimes it's really hard to ask some of these questions up front. The guy offered me a job. He's nice. He seems so nice. He seems so happy to have me on board. He really needs the help. That might be just the thing. He might just really need the help. He might just really need a body. It's tough. You know what I mean? For all these companies out there looking for people, I think it would be good if workers asked these questions. If they had the balls to sit there and ask all these questions up front. So 3 months into the job, they're not pissed off and angry because you didn't have full clarity up front. And that's what I'm saying. You want to be clear up front. And I think it's good for the employer and the employee to be clear up front where you stand. And let me tell you something. I hired a lot of guys, and I used to hand out the employee manual. I used to go over all this. And then after they're there for 3 months, if they still don't understand, I won't say what I said to them, but it'd be like, all right, I'll say, what the hell? Put it that way. I'd use a different word. I'd say fudge, you know? So I get pissed off because I made it clear up front, and then they're pissed about a policy that they already knew about. Okay. It's very frustrating. On the other hand, when I work for people and you take a job and then you get frustrated by the policies that they have. Hey, you know, the one thing I didn't put in there is I didn't ask about raises. I think I'll add that now that I am talking out loud about it. How often do they give raises? Do they have a bonus program? Things like that. But that's usually covered in salary. I'll throw that in there too. It just hit me. I thought, because I worked for companies that, you know, I didn't get a raise for 2 or 3 years. And why would they? You're working, you're happy, you're busy. Then one day you wake up and you're like, you know, I'm making the same money I made 2 years ago. What the hell's that about? Maybe that's the way it is. All right. Give me feedback. WadeForWireless.com. Tell me what you think, guys. Just remember, be smart, be safe, pay attention, do what you got to do, but do it safely. See ya.